Let's get this thing going. It's going to be gardening. And so thank you all for coming. Gardening this time of year is something, if you're going to be getting to get your things in the ground and starting to grow, it's going to be time here to be doing all that. So, but this is the fourth call of 2021. And our special guest is going to be talking about gardening, as I've kind of already said. I think you've all read. My name is Robert Leslie Newman. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. And Dan Smith is a gentleman that lives in Idaho. And he can give us a little bit of a biographical, sketch of kind of who he is, where he comes from, and just kind of maybe how he got into gardening, of course. And eventually, he's going to open it up for questions. Then we'll definitely have people unmute themselves. So right now, really, if you can, if you aren't if you aren't muted, make sure you are. But that's great. All right, Dan, tell us
I'm
about
here.
yourself. All right, so tell us about yourself and then start talking about gardening.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Dan Smith. I've been a master gardener since 1995, six, something like that. So it's been something over 25 years. And I've been into gardening one way or another ever since I was a kid. My mom would want certain things planted or certain things taken care of at the house, and she would make sure that her three kids got things done. And one of mine was having to take care of the yard. So I've been into gardening. I didn't know too much about it. Still don't know everything about it, but we're all learning, and learning is part of the process of life. So you just keep, you learn a little, you try a little, you practice, you grow things. If they work, fine. If they don't work, you try to find out, and then you keep on going. But gardening is one of those activities that just about anybody can do. And being a totally blind person, I do it by feel. A lot of people do it with partial sight. Or excuse me, I just have to knock this call off. But sorry about that. I didn't close the phone. But anyway, anybody can do gardening. I was an occupational therapist years ago, and we had patients doing gardening.
Janice, 8,477 has joined the meeting.
I've been around, gardening circles, been at fairs and different kinds of things, talking to people about gardening. And as part of a master gardener, one of the things that you have to do is not only take a 13-week training program, you also have to be available several times during the summer for a number of hours to answer calls, because the Master Gardener program is through the Extension Service of the local state agricultural service. So, if you have a real interest in gardening, it's a very good activity, and it's a very good service to the community to become a master
Lord
gardener.
Susie has joined the meeting.
My wife and I recently moved to Idaho. We just within
Alert
the
to
last week and a
objects
half
at
moved to the property that we're at now
8,477 has
out in
left
the
the meeting.
country. So we haven't planted anything yet. It's just into May. I may or may not get into gardening because moving is a process in and of itself. So we plan to do a number of things here, but there are some things growing because it was a mobile home that people lived in, and they have a number of things planted. We're still trying to figure out what is where. So when we get it all processed, we'll get back into it.
Alert
But
Janice, I phone Janice, 8,477 has joined the meeting.
the long and the short of gardening is that it can be done almost any place under any circumstances. You can plant in pots on your patio. You can plant in a small grow box. You can plant in larger grow box setup. You can plant in the ground. Think plants like to grow. So all you have to do most of the time is give them soil, water, a little bit of fertilizer, a little bit of TLC, kind of keep the bugs out, and you do what you can to help plants grow because that's what they want to do. But anyway, we're here to talk about gardening, so enough about me. Are there any particular questions? I know folks oftentimes have questions about different topics, and that does not mean that I have all of the answers. But we can talk about what we do know, talk about where to get some resources, you know, people to talk to, and how to find the answers to your questions. So, you know, if people have questions, I'd appreciate it if they just bring them forth and we'll talk about them for the whole group.
Did you become a master gardener? Did you have to study? Because I've been a gardener a long time, but I didn't know if I could become a master gardener.
Well, my understanding is, and my process was, that you call the Extension Service. They offer a master gardener program once a year, usually in the, you know, right in January. And it goes from January to March. It's like a 3-month program, and it's in class mostly. They do have some field experience where you go out and you learn to prune trees or different kinds of things like that. But you learn it in the summertime, and then you spend a few hours a week for the next several months working at the extension office to answer questions. So it's very easy. As a blind person, you have to get some assistance, to read the text, reading whatever text material, or to look up identification stuff. So, you know, it was easy for me to talk on the phone and to have two or three cohorts sitting around looking up the answers to the questions. So it worked well for me. I guess it worked well for the others too. So, you know, if you really have an interest, It's a great activity, but you go through the state extension service.
So Dan, it's Robert. Now and then, is that your computer that's talking? You know, JAWS.
All my computer is saying is how many people are joining the group.
All right. So of course, all of us are hearing that too. So. In fact, all right, this is how you could stop it. Because I just made mine be quiet. You can just turn off JAWS, you know, insert F4. Just like turning JAWS off.
You know how to do it.
Because it's JAWS that's talking. You don't need JAWS while you're on Zoom to talk.
Well, this is my wife's computer, so I don't have JAWS.
Internet connection.
Another thing you can do is do insert. And then that just makes speech happen on demand, and then you don't hear those either, but you haven't completely shut JAWS off. So that's another option.
What was the command to do that? Insert F6?
No, it's insert space and then an S as in Sam.
We're having a little hesitancy. Insert space?
Yes.
Yeah. Insert space and then the letter S will give you just speech on demand.
Okay. Insert space S.
What's insert?
Key next to Alt.
Is that the same as enter?
Or the numeric keypad, of course, that's a 0. Insert.
Okay, insert. Okay.
Insert space and then S, right?
Is it F or S?
S as in or Sierra, depending on your.
Okay, thank you. Space, yes. And then do you enter?
No.
I did so.
No.
No, having the phonetic thing like Sierra is very helpful. Being a ham operator, that's one way you get clarity. So thank you for that.
Alt. Alert audio now muted. Alert audio now unmuted.
Hello.
Alert audio now muted.
Hello.
Alert audio now unmuted.
This is Bernie from Erie, Pennsylvania. And I know our time zones are a whole lot different. I am wondering, when I moved here, and I've been here over 25 years, there were red raspberry bushes, and of course since then they have come towards the sun, so that the whole side of my garage is full of raspberries sometimes.
Yes.
Now last year was a good year. I don't know if it was a good year because we had rain and sun or whatever. What do I make sure that happens all the time?
Well, you know, my understanding is that in the fall, you need to cut those berries back. And on the East Coast, depends on where you are on the East Coast, if you have a really heavy winter cold, you need to cover those cut, because you cut them off almost to the ground.
I do cut them, but not always to the ground, no.
Well, even short is better than not cutting them at all. So, you know, if you can cut them back, keep them cool, they will start off in the spring again. So they're an easy plant to plant.
Well, they were here when I moved in. I have not planted a one, so they have just spread all by themselves.
They will do that.
Mm-hmm. And
they'll make a patch instead of a row, too.
No, I can't do that because I'm in a condo situation, okay?
That's fine. That's
so
fine.
I have tried to keep them cut back enough so they do not sprout.
Right.
You know, but they have come towards the sun.
Well, that's just...
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What do I do to make sure I get a crop like I did last year?
Well, you keep them cut back and they'll take care of it. The problem that you're going to have is keeping them from spreading.
I think I've done a good job on that. And of course I'm in an association, so they do the landscaping.
Of course.
And I have had them cut them back almost twice a year, but right after they produce and then just before winter. So right now they are maybe 3 feet tall, not even that. I don't know if I'm going to get a good crop this year or not. I have some years that I have not.
Okay. So, well, you can sprinkle a little high phosphate potassium fertilizer on them. That helps with the fruit. Flower and fruit development, so you should be fine. You know, if you've had it in the past, you'll probably have it in the future. So,
okay. Well, I have one more question. I hope it's not, something. I purchased a rose bush that was yellow roses.
Yes.
And planted it. We had yellow roses all summer. The next year it came up, but it has come up red roses. And it only blooms once. It does not bloom. I mean, I don't care if it was red roses all summer long, but it only blooms once.
Yes.
And so is there anything I can do to make it bloom more? Or I don't even care if it goes back to yellow. I don't think that will ever happen.
Well, just make sure that when the flowers start to die, you pick them off.
I do that. But it only blooms once, and they are red flowers, not yellow ones.
Well, that may be a problem with oftentimes roses are grafted onto a rootstock, and you may have a red rootstock and a yellow rose. But you may, when they were cut back, they may have been cut below the graft point. So then you go back.
I understand that, yes. Uh-huh.
Whatever the mother stock was.
But can I do anything? I don't even care if they're red roses, but, it's been years and years now, and it only blooms once, and it blooms fine.
My general suggestion is that when the flowers bloom, they get old and start to die. You cut them off, cut them back about 6 or 12 inches down, and then feed the plant. Make sure it's nourished, and it may bloom again.
Okay, I will try that. Okay.
But everything in gardening is try it and see what works.
Okay. All right. All right. Bye. Thank you.
Sure. Next question, please.
Now, someone named Linda has her hand up.
Oh, sure.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Smith. My name is Linda D. Bardenas from New Jersey. And my daughter just sent me these Gerber daisy seeds. And I was going to plant them. They say don't ever plant. I live in New Jersey. So they say don't ever plant anything until after Mother's Day here. But yes. I was wondering, what kind of sun do they need?
I'm sorry. I totally missed the name of the seed.
Oh, Gerber daisies.
Daisies. Well, it's been my experience with daisies is that you sow the seed and they'll grow when they feel like it. But, you know, I haven't had any experience with daisies being a problem as far as germination. So,
well, my question was, what kind of sun do they need? Do they need full sun or partial sun or what?
It's best, the more sun, the better.
Okay. Thank you very much.
They're not real happy about shade all the time. So as much sun as possible, you know, if you get a little bit of shade during the day, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But, you know, morning sun, afternoon sun, terrific. Midday sun, it's not a problem, but the plants will be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Another question? Hello, hello out there.
Robert here, Dan. So,
yes, sir.
Until someone else has a specific growing type of issue, you might say, how about just any kind of general, blindness related alternatives, that maybe you could just throw out there because, I think you're totally blind, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Because you have a question about a technique.
Yes, techniques. How about just talk about some general techniques that you found that work for you? Because it's more than one way. So not one person's way is the only way, but just give us some thoughts on how you do some things.
Well, you know, the interesting question about blindness is number one is trying to make sure what plant is what. Number two is trying to keep plants organized so that if they're grown in the soil that you don't walk on them. I do. I have really gotten to the point now where I grow everything in grow boxes or in a designated spot. I do grow in 5-gallon buckets, tomatoes and things like that in a 5-gallon bucket. I grow some in pots, things like that. If I know where plants are, I try to stay out of it. But with my grow boxes, in order to keep a straight row, I'm not real big on straight row stuff, and I've moved more into kind of the square foot gardening concept where you can square the garden by running strings both directions on a box, and you can put, several plants in that square and several plants in another square depending on what you're growing. And you can always look up on Google square foot gardening. There's with the onset of YouTube, you can learn more about gardening than you'll ever have time to learn or to watch. So, but for me as a person, as time has gone on, I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. So I try not to get too worried about it. But on the other hand, I like to keep plants where I think they are and not where they are someplace else. So, if I have a grow box, I can plant corn and beans and, whatever. I'm a little bit more particular about my tomatoes, so I try to grow them a little bit more in a developed way in the sense of a 5-gallon bucket or a larger bucket if I have it. You can go to the nursery oftentimes, and often after they set out trees for, at a residence or something like that, they have large pots that they will give you or sell to you at a cheap price, something 24 inches in diameter and 8, 10, 12 inches deep, and they make super planters as far as trying to keep things organized. But with tomatoes, I'm trying all kinds of stuff with tomatoes, everything from having you know, set up a 5-gallon bucket where you water down in the bucket, not over the top. You know, I have to tell you, I've planted just about everything you can think of. So, but trying to keep plants watered without watering them from the top has been one of the things I've tried most in the last couple of years. But it's worked well for me. And you might think about it a little bit in the sense of taking a 5-gallon bucket, take some tin cans, put them down, you know, cut the top and bottom out of the cans, put some holes in the can so that the water equalizes. You put a hole in the side of the bucket about an inch down from the top of the can. So you put the cans in the bucket, you put a clear piece, and not a clear, it doesn't have to be any color, you know, put anything across the top of the cans to keep the soil from coming down into the cans. But then you run a pipe down the side of the inside of the bucket and down into where the cans are, down through this thing to keep the soil from coming down, so that the soil is then put in the bucket. The pipe sticks above the bucket so you can put water down the pipe, PVC pipe, and you plant your plant. You have soil in one of the cans, in the center can and the bottom of the bucket. I know this is a little bit descriptive, but you can see it on YouTube all over the place. And it's, but you feed it and water it through the pipe that goes down into the bottom of the bucket. But I've done that for tomatoes, then put a tomato cage around the tomato. It's worked great for me. So, you know, other people, you know, have their own ideas how to grow tomatoes, but that's tomatoes is probably the single interest plant that gardeners have. They'll plant tomatoes when they can't plant anything else. So, you know, and if anyone has questions about tomatoes, I'd like to talk about that. So,
this is Tracy in New Jersey.
Yes, ma'am.
Keep opening my big mouth. That's what I do.
Sure. But,
I have poison ivy sometimes in my yard, and I hate it. I'm quite allergic to it, and I have trouble dealing with it. Do you have any tips as a blind person for dealing with the staying out of the poison ivy until I can get someone to come and get rid of it?
Well, my favorite hint is to let my wife do it. But
don't have a wife like that.
I'm a little facetious about that, but you know, poison oak is one of those pain plants that I don't know how to tell you other than put on some gloves, long sleeve shirts.
Trouble is I never know where it is until I've gotten into it. And even when I've gotten into it, it's like, which of the 20 places that I was today was it at? Then I call somebody to come and look.
I identify with you 100%. And my wife oftentimes, not often, we moved to Idaho from Oregon, and we had lots of poison oak in the area. So, you know, I tried to keep the poison oak cleared out, and then I'd be out working in the yard or doing whatever. She said, that's poison oak. Really? So then you get a few bumps and you mutter grumble and you go on. But I don't know how to tell you otherwise.
Too bad. Thank you.
No problem. Next.
So, Robert, here I have a question about tomatoes.
Yes.
So, one thing that I do when the plant is starting to really just get some size to it is that, you know, like where there is a let's talk about one of the major branches, and then there are some secondary branches that come off, and it's right, it's like a sucker thing. I'm not sure what you want to call it, but like right now I'm holding my hand up, and like between my thumb and my pointer finger, you know, let's say the pointer finger is the main branch, and then my thumb is like a lesser branch coming off it, but right in the crotch of, you know, that main branch, the main branch, and then where the smaller one comes off, there's a new growth starts coming right in the point, right down in that Y. And my father always said, well, that's a sucker. That's not going to really produce you any foot. You know, pinch that off.
Yes. Well, you know, I guess depends on how you look at it, Robert. There are some people that will tell you that suckers don't grow, won't sprout tomatoes. Now, when you plant a determinate or, I mean, a indeterminate plant, that tomato wants to go as much as it can to produce as much seed as possible. And if you let that sucker grow, it'll form its own flowers and put out tomatoes. The problem that you get into is the tomatoes overall will be smaller because that sucker is going to use up nutrition. But it absolutely will produce fruit.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about that is that you can pinch those suckers off. You know, if they're say 3, 4, 5, or 6 inches long, pinch it off, take the 2 or 3 bottom leaves off, stick it in a glass of water, and it'll produce fruit. I mean, it'll produce roots. And then you can take that plant, put it back in the soil, and it'll grow an identical plant to that it came off of. So, you know, if you have a space and you like the plant, well, just take the suckers. You know, you can either plant them direct or put it in water and let it grow roots. But it absolutely will make an identical plant. But if you leave it on the plant, that plant will produce fruit. But often they're smaller. And, you know, but there will be a lot of fruit.
Okay.
So, you know, your information is generally correct, but it will produce tomatoes. It's not a, you know, it's just one of those things.
Well, that's interesting. That's good.
But if you want tomatoes to, you know, the kind of the thing right now on commercial gardening, and, you know, a lot of individuals are doing it too, they'll take those suckers off. They'll take off a lot of the leaves. They'll run those the main stem of the plant up string or wire or bamboo, whatever you're using to let it grow, and they want that plant to get as tall as possible to get the air and the, you know, the sunshine and whatever. But, you know, if you're going to have those kinds of plants, you need to feed them. And when they start putting on flowers and fruit, you want to give them a low nitrogen, high phosphorus and phosphate. And, you know, most tomato food is okay, but it's almost too little. So, you know, double up your feeding schedule, give it plenty of water, and you'll be fine. Do we have other questions? I know people like tomatoes, but, you know, anything else, you know, lettuce, corn, broccoli, cabbages, insect problems, snails and slugs.
How about insect problems?
Well, that is another one of those. As a blind person, you never know until it's after the fact that you have an insect problem. You know, everybody knows about aphids and all that kind of stuff, and they get under the leaves of some of your leafier plants or tomatoes or whatever, and you really don't know the difference. Feed the plant well and it'll probably be fine. I happen to spray my plants periodically with, you know, detergent and water. You know, people have all kinds of ways, but to know that you have insects is a real challenge. And particularly with tomatoes and tomato worms and, you know, corn borers and all that kind of stuff. Shucks. I don't know. By the time you know it, you've already got the problem. So I wish I had a real good answer for the visually impaired community, but I don't have it. Let somebody else look at it, I guess.
Sure.
But, you know, insects are a real problem. When it comes to feeding plants, you know, many people have their own ideas about how to feed stuff. But I find that if you take a granular fertilizer, you know, if you're feeding all your lettuce stuff and where you need your lettuces, your leaf plants, your anything that has big leaves, you want to feed them a fair amount of nitrogen. That does not go for things like beets I'm drawing a blank here, but anything that has a root crop on it with big leaves, you need to make sure that they have plenty of phosphorus and potassium, because that's what grows those big roots. And the more they get, the better. But the nitrogen is for the foliage primarily. So I don't generally feed much with granular fertilizer. I put everything in the water. So when I'm watering a plant, it's usually got fertilizer in it. At least every fourth or fifth watering, I put in some kind of plant food. So it's a little more challenging. And, you know, you get into trees and stuff like that, or bushes, you know, your perennial stuff. And, you know, you have to be careful just to make sure it has plenty of water and plenty of fertilizer. And onion, you know, I used to think that onions, the only thing you had to do with an onion was stick it in the ground, but that's not true, because onions like nitrogen and they like water. And then you get, you know, a little bit into the phosphorus and potassium for the fertilizer. But there's, you know, many people, they get into all of the stuff about, you know, soil amendments, you know, your rock dust, phosphorus rock dust, and one thing, phosphate rock. And they get into all the other minerals, your sea minerals, and one thing after another. I think all that is a very good idea. But as far as myself, I do it when I think about it. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, fine. I haven't gotten into, you know, making, you know, different teas for watering plants, you know, where you put plants in water and let it soak for a while. But on the other hand, you know, you do all kinds of stuff, and I'm not very versed at doing grafting, because that's a little more visual than what I've done it a few times. I'm not very successful. So, you know, there are some things that I find a little more challenging than others. So. But fertilizer, sorry. Yes.
Okay, so I have a fairly young Japanese maple in my backyard, and the branches are starting to get down to the height where it's like brushing on my head, and I really don't want that. So I'm thinking about doing a little trimming. So is there any kind of a rule of thumb on trimming trees?
Well, you know, most of the time dealing with trees, it's one of those things that most trees want to be pruned. You know, if you do any kind of heavy pruning, do it do it late winter, early spring, before the, you know, the buds start coming. But other than that, you know, if you've got a tree and you know it's doing what you don't want it to do, it's amazing how much trimming you can do on a maple tree or a fruit tree or whatever, and they still produce well. And there's, you know, with fruit trees and things like that, if you know, once the fruit is set and you know where the fruit is, and you decide you don't want a branch or a branch that's quite as long, cut it off. It won't hurt it at all. You know, it's best to do it when the weather is dry, but I haven't had any problems with doing it and the rain come. Sometimes I think, oh, phooey, I should have waited a little longer, but it hasn't been a problem. So if it's bothering you, cut it off.
I will. One of my techniques, here's a technique that's kind of interesting. We have a large, you know, ash tree in the front yard, and a couple of years ago, you know, my wife would just say, well, that branch is getting right down where it's almost touching the ground, because I don't necessarily walk out in the middle of the yard. But she was just saying how the guy that we've hired to do our mowing, he's having to push it out of the way. So I just hadn't really thought about, you know, the branches, you know, getting that long that they're going to be getting down that low. So what I've been doing the last couple of years is I just walk around and I have my white cane. It's, you know, I'm 5'8" and it's, it's a 63-inch cane. So I just use that cane to find a branch that, you're getting too close to the ground there, buddy. So I'll get the tip, you know, end of it kind of in like where a small branch is coming off of the larger branch. Anyway, so I can actually pull the branch down to where I can get my hand on it. So right. Then I trim it and then I walk around, you know, feeling around in the sky for the next branch. That it was pretty funny. My neighbor one day saw me doing that. And he said, at first he was going to ask me what the hell I was doing, but then he saw, you know, that I was actually, you know, finding branches that were going to be, you know, a problem. So he really kind of told the neighborhood, you know, they ought to hire me to trim their trees because, you know, I could do it no matter what time of day it was, you know, light or not.
That's right.
That's kind of funny.
Well, you know, with trimming trees, I don't know of any other way other than letting somebody do it, except getting out there and doing the old braille thing, or as you say, taking a cane and, you know, whipping it around in the air. You know, it works great. You know, I wouldn't feel bad at all. But now you said that was an ash tree.
Yeah, ash.
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to cut it off, you know, all the way at the tree, just make sure that you go, you know, pretty close to the what is that ring that a branch forms when it comes out of a tree. I've lost my idea on that, but anyway cut it fairly close to the tree, but don't injure that ring, that's all, and it'll be fine. But you're doing the right thing by finding what works for you, and it won't hurt the tree to cut that branch off. So, you know, whatever you can do, it won't hurt the tree. That tree will grow back, or that tree will make another branch. But it's good to keep them up high, keep them, you know, in a configuration that you're happy to deal with on a regular basis, because it, you know, it's a pain to get smacked in the chops by a branch. And you know, coming out of Oregon, we had quite a number of trees, and it was not uncommon to have a meeting of the minds with a tree, you might say. And so I would come in the house, my wife would say, okay, what have you been doing now? And I say, why, what's the problem? Well, you got blood on your forehead, or, you know, whatever. And you have these close encounters oftentimes smack on, actually, but, you know, don't be afraid to get hurt, I guess. But cut them off. If you don't like it, cut it off, because it'll be okay.
When you're planting,
no, you go right ahead.
This is Barbara, and I'm wondering, when you plant like seeds and you're waiting for them to come up, do you always plant them like in a small pot or something first? Or if you put them directly in the ground, how do you mark them or do something so that you know when or if they come up?
Well, that has been one of the sore points with a lot of people. You know, I have done my share of transplanting, but it's kind of tedious, and, you know, depends on how much hand dexterity or sensation you have in your hands, whether you can manipulate a small plant. So anyway, I usually pull a string, or I put a stick by the area, or, you know, you can put something on the ground that determines a circle or whatever it is. I mean, whatever it takes for you to find that. You can take a cardboard container, you know, a margarine container, whatever, you know, cut the bottom out. So you've got the top and the two sides, just press it down in the soil a little bit, plant your plant right there, and you know exactly where it is. or you can put in a row, you know, pull a string between two stakes, or you know, get a couple branches and stick them in the ground. But you know, if you don't know where it is, if you're like me, sooner or later you're going to pull that thing up because you think it's a weed.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. So my wife will.
That's great. I hadn't thought of that.
But you know, any kind of container, any kind of thing that you can do to make a circle or a square or whatever on the ground, if you can, you know, if it's a brailleable object, and you can feel that, because if you have to do it by feel, you have to find a way of knowing where it is. So it works. You know, it's sort of like planting in a pot in the ground, I guess.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
May I share? I just joined the group. My name is Caroline, and I love to garden. In fact, I've just been spending my time in there. And I just wanted to pass on what you said works really well with the containers. And actually, I've started doing that recently, where I've direct sowed into the ground, but I first put sunk the container in, and actually left like the lids on so that it makes like a little greenhouse until the plants start growing, and then I can pop that off.
Sure.
And then what I like to do is label with Dymatape, you know, the Braille labels, and I put them on plastic knives. You only always have those left over in your silverware, in your plasticware. Nobody uses the knives. And they make great little markers that'll hold the Braille Dymatape, but it also has an edge that you can stick down into the ground.
Good. That's a very good suggestion, and welcome to the group.
Thank you.
We're all interested in ideas, and I appreciate what you're saying. You know, as far as little greenhouses, a really quick greenhouse is to, you know, plant your seed or whatever, and then take a, you know, like a gallon jug, you know, empty bottle that you have, cut the bottom out of it, make sure the lid is off, and just put it over the plant, over the spot where you planted. It makes a greenhouse. It gives you a feel of where it is. You can do the same thing with 2-liter soda bottles. You know, there's all kinds of ways to figure out, you know, where did I put that seed? And, but what you're doing is very good. Keep it up.
Yeah, it works really well. I just started it this year, and just this morning found some little basil plants that were growing. And it makes it nice
feeling.
Because you can, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from New Mexico, so we're just starting to get our warm weather that's really nice to anticipate.
Well, it's kind of the way we are in Idaho, too. It's, you know, we've had people start planting maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, so it's a great time of the year.
Southern Idaho.
But, you know, this thing of using quote unquote trash around your garden, like empty containers, you can take a, you know, like one of these shopping bags. Some of them are clear, and you can take those shopping bags, you know, from the grocery store, and you can make a, you know, stick 3 or 4 sticks in the ground around your plant, pull this thing over the top, make sure there's a little hole in it, and it acts as a little greenhouse. You know, just try to make sure that it doesn't blow off and blow around the neighborhood, but.
Yeah.
And you're right about the silverware using that. I've used popsicle sticks, and my wife, every time I'd have an ice cream or popsicle, she'd say, "What are you doing with that stick?" Well, I'm saving it. I've got a plan for this stick.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, you try to use what you can. But it does work. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. So do we
have any, Dan, on the negative side? Not really on the negative side, but it's kind of a weird question I'm going to ask, I guess.
Yeah.
Any common errors that people will make? You know, because you talked about watering. You know, and it's better to water, like you were saying, the tomato plants that are in these 5 gallon buckets, you know, water from the bottom, not pour it on the top. Are there any other kind of common mistakes that, you know, that you could just throw at us and maybe we're kind of guilty of them and we didn't really know it was not the smartest way to do something?
Well, you know, one of the common things that we all do, and we look at the soil and we say that soil is dry, but stick your finger in the soil and see if it is dry. You know, if you feel the soil and it's cold, then it's probably moist or wet. But if you feel the soil and it's the same temperature as the air, it's probably dry. So, but, you know, stick your finger down in the soil, you know, 2 or 3 digits or as deep as you can go and see what the soil is. But, you know, I have an orchid plant. And it's hard to tell when that plant needs water, except for the fact that when you water it, you know, it's not in the ground, it's in a pot. So I water it until the water begins to come out in the dish at the base of the plant. But you can overwater stuff because, you know, when you put in too much water, it takes the nutrients out of the soil with the water. And if the water flows away, there goes your fertilizer. So, you know, if you want to keep in balance, just don't overwater the plant. You know, unless you get into plants that require a lot of water. Robert, you know about the water gardening that one of the blind people do, and you know, different things like that. But you know, generally speaking, don't overwater it. But if you're putting in, if you're planting young fruit trees, make sure that they have plenty of water, but don't overwater them. You know, and you can take a 5 gallon bucket, poke a hole, you know, 1/8 of an inch hole or 1/16 of an inch hole at the bottom edge of it, and take it and put it near your plant and just put water in the bucket and it'll drip irrigate that plant. But it, you know, you only use that for, plants that are spaced away, but, you know, people overwater as well as underwater, people over fertilize as well as under fertilize. But, you know, every gardener that has an opportunity of looking at their plants. And if their plants are wilting in the afternoon, you can say, well, that's normal. But if your plants are wilted in the morning, that's abnormal. So you've got to give it water in the morning. You know, try not to water in the middle of the afternoon. Water early morning or late afternoon. You know, you'll save water that way. Your plants will do better that way. Try to water in the morning is better than in the evening, because if you have wet plants in the evening, snails tend to go where it's moist because they need that moisture to travel. But otherwise, snails are one of those things that we all have to deal with at times. So, you know, kill the little buggers any way you can. Escargot isn't valid when it comes to plants in my book. Don't worry about it. Kill them. So, but, plants, they like water in the morning. And I water, if I look at the plant, if it's in the middle of the day, I don't worry about it too much. Unless it's my tomatoes, then I worry a little more about it. Because then I wonder, well, what's wrong with the tomato? Because they usually do well with the heat. But if you got your leafy crops and all that kind of stuff, and they're all drooping in the afternoon, you might want to give them some water. Try not to overhead water them in the afternoon. You know, water in the evening, water in the morning. They'll be fine. But I don't know a lot of don'ts in gardening. The big don't in gardening is don't worry about it. Just get out there and do it.
So. Sure. Someone was telling me that on seed packages nowadays, I'm not sure how it's worded anyway, that with the global warming, that some things that didn't do so well further north they're saying that, you know, those things now will do okay. Where you're at, where it was always further south, they would do better, but they're now saying that with the changing temperature, you know, that some things are just gonna not do so well down south because it's getting too hot, and then it's getting warmer as you go north. So some things are just, like I say, will do better in northern climates now.
Well, that, you know, of course, Robert, that's one of those problems that, you know, if the science is right, and if, you know, there seems to be a certain amount of indication that the climate may be changing. You know, we don't seem to have as much rain, as much snow. Water is a problem in some areas. And, you know, if you have the water, try growing it anyway. If you've got, you know, if you have stuff that you know that doesn't take heat very well, you know, when you do your pruning or your cutting or whatever, if you've got any kind of sticks or any kind of, you know, dry foliage, you can make, you know, some little lattice type things over the top of your plant so that they get sun in the morning, sun in the evening or afternoon, you know, and cover over the top so they don't get that direct afternoon sun. One of the things that I did years ago, I worked in Africa for a while. I was with leprosy control, but I got to see a lot of different kind of gardening. And even some of the folks over there, if they were growing cabbages or stuff that doesn't really like the, you know, the hot afternoon sun, they would cover it over, and their cabbages seemed to do very well. You know,
that's so if they had good common sense.
Yeah, you know, they made a lattice work type things over the top of their plants. You know, people, you know, grow lots of cooler plants in greenhouses, but oftentimes it's the late afternoon or the afternoon sun that makes a greenhouse extremely warm. But if you cover that greenhouse with some kind of fabric, or, you know, you can get fabric of different types of weave or color so that you get shade depending on how much they'll take in the summertime. So, you know.
Hi, my name is Frida. I'm from Missouri. And
hello.
I wondered if, hi, I'm from Jefferson City, the capital city. And I wondered if you had any miracle idea about getting rid of moles. I've got we have a lot of problem with moles, and, you know, they're eating the grubs. You see what I'm saying? But
yes.
Oh gosh, you know, and they've got our yards all tore up, you know.
Well, you know, that is an ongoing problem in some areas between moles and gophers and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've done well with, you know, different kinds of traps. I've put out, you know, I don't have any problem killing those things. So, you know, you can buy different kinds of pellets and putting it down the run. You know, I'm sure that you're acquainted with more of that than I am. But,
well, I just think if I get rid of the grubs, then the moles will stay away.
That's one of the things that you might want to call your extension service about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. You know, most states have a local extension service.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are interested in helping you with questions like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did contact conservation. I have a niece who works there, and
yes,
they didn't really have much as far as they said traps and things. But I mean, I don't think I could take the moles out of the traps and things like that, you know.
Well, I you may have a better idea as far as killing the grubs. You know, if they don't have a food source, they may not be there.
That's true. That's what I've been told, yeah.
So, that's why I think either your, you know, one of your more local, better nurseries or your extension service. I'm not acquainted with the, conservation service, so I don't know anything about them. So,
yeah, you can't be the only person in your neighborhood with the grubs. So other people.
No. It's everybody. So.
Okay. Well, gee whiz. Sounds like a really grubby deal.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that just have to get the last bit of humor out of a problem. So it works. So that's good.
Maybe a flock of ducks. They'll probably like to eat those grubs. So anyway,
down in the soil. So
we've only got maybe a minute or two left, dear friends. Any other super important question that someone had that they did not get a chance to ask?
Harriet has one. I wasn't going
yes,
to ask.
Yes, Harriet, go right ahead.
It's about exposing children to gardening. What plants do you recommend? I got the advice with the containers. I thought that was wonderful. And I was thinking of using some rocks, large rocks, certain areas, fragrant plants to plant them in certain areas, or even a soft cactus or the low growing cactus.
Mm-hmm.
With exposing children, what techniques do you cut the tips of the fingers out of gloves so they can not say, oh, that's ishy, or, you know, or even having different rooms, so to speak, in your garden. What can you help children? Thanks.
With working around kids, the kids really want to see something happening. And so then I start thinking about what is quick and easy. And beans are probably the easiest plant for any child to grow. You know, just take a bean seed, stick it in the soil, you know, have the child, with my kids and my grandkids, you know, they're sticking their hands in the dirt, no gloves. And so have the child, you know, fill up a small pot or a drinking cup with a hole in the bottom, or a milk container, make sure it's got holes in the bottom. You know, just put 4 or 5 inches of soil in there, plant the bean in it, water it, and it's beginning to grow in 5 or 6 days. You know, and the kids really like to see something happening. And if it doesn't happen, if you plant carrots and it takes 3 weeks, they've lost interest. So, you know, and have them do it. You know, my grandkids, I've got 1, 5 and, you know, one that's about 13 months, but they've got their hands in the dirt all the time. But my 5-year-old, he likes progress. So he wants to see something happening. So we do things like beans and, you know, you can do your kale and stuff like that. Squash is another fast growing plant. You know, if you can get a bush squash and just plant it in their spot, let them choose a spot and they'll plant it and it will grow. So
now if the children are visually impaired.
Yeah, same thing. Okay. Use bigger seeds, you know, something that they can pick up with their hand, you know, stick it down in the ground. A child with a small finger, stick it down in the ground about 1 inch. And there's really no question that the plant will grow. But beans, squash seeds, sunflower seeds, anything that has a bigger feel to it, and have them, you know, cut up a potato and stick it in the ground. You know, do the thing with the sweet potato. Put the toothpicks in the side of it, hang it over a jar with barely touching water, and it'll sprout. Kids like that kind of stuff. But I do appreciate your question. That's good. These kids are important.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Robert, are we about there?
Yes, Dan, we definitely are. So, and this has been recorded, and we're going to have it up on our website in a couple of days. So it'll be advertised as there for anyone who has missed or just would like to hear it all again. It'll be available. So watch for that email. All right.
Well, you know, I do apologize to the group for not knowing all the answers to all the questions, but that's just one of the things you trial and error. So,
well, I think you told us there in the very beginning, you're like a plant. You're growing all the time.
So, I hope so. I hope so.
All right. So appreciate your time and your sharing your knowledge with us, Dan. Appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to the group for showing up.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So have a nice day, the rest of you all.